their website actually says and defines, and I write about this in my story where I feature the whistleblower, they say there's good biomass and there's bad biomass. Good biomass is residue. It's lumber waste. It's treetops and limbs. It's the stuff that's sitting on the forest floor. It's not whole trees. It's not hardwoods. And bad biomass contributes to deforestation, harms biodiverse habitats, things like that.
Justin Cardenoso, thanks so much for being my guest on Sea Change Radio.
Alex, it's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Sway the future to the past and find what will endure.
You've been listening to Sea Change Radio. Our intro music is by Sanford Lewis, and our outro music is by Alex Wise. Additional music by George Benson, BTS, and Blackpink. Check out our website at seachangeradio.com. That's seachangeradio.com to stream or download the show or subscribe to our podcast. Visit our archives there to hear from Bill McKibben, Van Jones, Paul Hawken, and many others. And tune in to Sea Change Radio next week as we continue making connections for sustainability. For Sea Change Radio, I'm Alex Wise.
You are listening to KBOO Portland.
Hi, this is Kendall Boyson, professional life and recovery coach, and you're listening to Encouragementology, the practice of instilling hope.
Hi there. Thanks for joining me. On this show, we're talking about what it really means to find your voice without dragging along the guilt trip. Maybe you've been biting your tongue, nodding when you mean to shake your head, or saying sure when every fiber of your being is screaming no. Sound familiar? You're not alone. So many of us, especially the people pleasers and peacekeepers of the world, have been taught to smooth things over rather than speak up. But here's the thing. Your voice matters, and your truth deserves airtime. Now, I'm not talking about shouting from the rooftops or steamrolling over others. This isn't about turning into someone you're not. This is about turning into your own inner frequency and having the confidence to let it come through. Clearly, calmly, and guilt-free. Whether it's saying no without a 10-minute apology, standing up for something you believe in, or simply expressing your opinion without second-guessing yourself, this episode is for you. Let's explore the sticky stuff that keeps us quiet and learn how to speak up with grace, confidence, and self-respect. Let's start by defining the core ideas behind this episode, because finding your voice can mean different things depending on where you are in your personal journey. At its essence, finding your voice is about recognizing your thoughts, beliefs, and needs as valid, and having the courage to express them. It's about being authentic, honest, and clear, without feeling like you need to water yourself down to make others comfortable. Now let's talk about why we don't. One big reason? People-pleasing. This behavior often stems from a fear of rejection or conflict. If you grew up in an environment where keeping the peace meant keeping quiet, then you might equate speaking up with being too much or too selfish. Over time, that internalized guilt becomes the bouncer at the door, turning away your opinions before they ever make it to the surface. And then there's the guilt trip. That little voice in your head that says, you should just let it go, or don't make this a big deal, or you're probably overreacting anyway. But that guilt isn't always a moral compass. Sometimes it's just conditioning. A signal that you've been taught to value harmony over honesty, even when honesty is exactly what's needed. We also need to clarify the difference between assertiveness and aggressiveness. Speaking your truth doesn't mean shouting others down. Assertiveness is respectful communication. It's saying what you mean, meaning what you say, and doing so in a way that doesn't trample over someone else's experience. That's the sweet spot. Clarity without cruelty. Directness without drama. So if you've ever struggled to say no without giving an entire TED talk in justification, or if you've nodded through conversations where you disagreed silently, just know this episode is here to help you build that muscle. You're not wrong for having an opinion. You're not bad for needing boundaries. And you're certainly not selfish for speaking your truth. Let's slow down for a second and do a little self-check. This is about tuning in, because before we can speak up out there, we have to understand what's going on in here. So grab your mental flashlight. We're going to explore a few rooms you may not have visited in a while. Question one, when was the last time you held your tongue? And not in the I'm so gracious kind of way, but in the I wish I had spoken up kind of way. What held you back? Were you afraid of hurting someone's feelings? Did you worry about being misunderstood or judged? Were you unsure of how to phrase it without sounding harsh? Reflecting on these moments can show you your personal trigger points, situations where guilt or fear hijack your voice. It's not about shame. It's about spotting patterns. Question two, how do you typically say no? Is it a hard no? Or a soft maybe? Or a long-winded sorry? Sorry, I just have a lot going on right now, but maybe another time. Don't worry, we've all been there. Saying no can feel like you're letting someone down. But what if you reframe it? A no is really a yes to yourself. A boundary is not a barrier. It's a bridge to mutual respect. How often do you sacrifice your own well-being just to avoid that awkward moment? Spoiler alert, you don't owe people discomfort just to keep them comfortable. Question three, whose voice are you afraid to disagree with? This one gets deep. Is it a parent? A partner? A boss? Maybe it's even a version of yourself from the past. Ask yourself, what am I afraid will happen if I disagree? What beliefs have I inherited about authority, conflict, or being good? Am I giving someone else the power to narrate my life? Remember, your voice doesn't have to be the loudest in the room. It just needs to be yours. It's not about pressure. It's about permission. Permission to question. Permission to unlearn. Permission to write the rules that have kept you quiet. We'll keep building on this, but take a moment to sit with what came up. Your voice is in there. You just have to start listening for it. Let's bring in a voice of both compassion and practical experience. Dr. Jeffrey Bernstein, a psychologist who's been helping people navigate boundaries and guilt for years, has written an article, Stop the Guilt: 3 Ways to Take Back Your Power and Say No. He offers insight on how to say no without surrendering your confidence. He says, in college, I enrolled in a peer counseling training program where we were taught the importance of setting boundaries. One exercise required us to practice saying a simple, empathetic no. The idea was to reinforce that notion that our needs mattered and that we had the right to decline requests. But there was a glaring omission. We weren't taught how to deal with the inevitable guilt that came after saying no. Without an internal framework to manage that guilt or a way to approach interactions empathetically, saying no often felt harsh or incomplete. Over the years, I've learned that saying no doesn't have to come at a cost of your emotional peace. So here are three ways to stop feeling guilty when you say no, so you can set boundaries without second-guessing yourself. Number one, remember that no is a complete sentence, but it's okay to add context. Saying no doesn't mean you have to shut people down coldly. Adding a little context can make you feel more collaborative while easing the guilt. Take Serena, for example. Her friend, Lila, asked her to move furniture on Saturday morning. Serena had already planned a rare self-care day. Instead of an abrupt no, she said, "I'd like to help, but I've already committed the time to recharge. Can we find another way I can support you?" Adding context like Serena did doesn't mean you're justifying your boundaries. It's about expressing care while staying firm. When you acknowledge someone else's needs but still honor your own, it's easier to let go of guilt because your no comes with clarity and kindness. Number two, reframe guilt as a sign of growth. Feeling guilty about saying no often stems from believing you're letting someone down. But guilt can also signal that you're stepping out of a people-pleasing habit and into healthier boundaries. Consider Felix, a junior executive who always said yes to last-minute tasks from his boss. When asked to take on an extra project over the weekend, Felix paused and said, "I've hit my limit for this week. I want to give my best effort and can't do that without rest." He felt a pang of guilt, but he reframed it as a sign that he prioritized his well-being. Remember that guilt isn't necessarily bad. It's a natural response to breaking old patterns. Acknowledge it, but don't let it dictate your actions. Each time you say no, you're building resilience and self-respect. Number three, practice compassionate self-talk. How you talk to yourself after saying no makes a difference. Use affirming language to reinforce your decision instead of berating yourself for disappointing someone. For instance, Zara felt awful after declining a family member's request to borrow money. She reminded herself, "I'm not responsible for solving everyone's problems. Saying no doesn't make me selfish. It makes me mindful of my limits." Compassionate self-talk helps neutralize guilt by shifting the narrative. Write down a list of affirmations like, "I have the right to prioritize my needs," or "saying no allows me to show up fully for the things I've said yes to." Repeat these affirmations whenever guilt creeps in. Saying no will always require courage, but managing the guilt that comes with it doesn't have to be an uphill battle. Whether you add context, reframe guilt as growth, or practice self-compassion, these strategies can help you confidently embrace your boundaries. Back in that college training program, The lesson about saying no could have been much more powerful if we'd also learned to handle the feelings that came after. Now it's clear that saying no isn't just about the word itself. It's about the care and clarity we give ourselves and others in the process. So next time you feel guilty for saying no, remind yourself that you're not just setting limits, but creating space for what truly matters. That's not selfish, it's self-respect. So let's break it down. In a nutshell, Dr. Bernstein compares guilt to a clunky security system that goes off even when you're just locking your front door. Not cool, and definitely not necessary. He reminds us that saying no is far from unkind. It's self-respect in action. He offers three gentle tools. First, let no stand alone. No need for long explanations or apologies. Your no is complete. Step two, reframe guilt as growth. That twinge, it's not failure. It's a signal you're redefining your boundaries. And step three, use compassionate self-talk. After saying no, remind yourself, I deserve rest and clarity too. It's a toolkit for getting real with yourself without losing your balance. Let's get to the real work, putting your voice into action without dragging guilt along for the ride. Are you ready for your action plan? Get a pen, get some paper. This is a great time to start making a plan. Okay, step one, recognize your patterns. Before you can change the way you speak up or don't, you have to understand what's going on behind the scenes. So think about it. When do you say yes when you really mean no? Think about it. There must be a pattern in there. Who are the people you feel most uncomfortable being honest with? Is guilt a habit or just a reflex? Think about that for a minute. Is guilt a habit or a reflex? Jot those down. Try to notice the triggers. This is your emotional roadmap. Okay, step two, practice assertive language. You don't need to memorize scripts. You just need your words said with confidence and kindness. Try phrases like, I'd love to help, but I'm not able to commit right now. That doesn't work for me, but I hope it goes well for you. I need some time to think before I answer. Short, direct, respectful, and best of all, guilt-free. Step three. Say no without drama. The next time you need to decline something, resist the urge to over-explain or apologize excessively. Here's a mindset trick. Imagine you're offering someone else the gift of your honesty, because that's what it is, a gift. Step four, address the guilt, don't avoid it. Feeling guilty doesn't mean you're wrong. It just means you're stretching into new territory. Try this reframing exercise. I'm not being selfish. I'm being self-aware. I'm not letting anyone down. I'm lifting myself up. Give yourself permission to feel the guilt, then let it pass. Step five, build your confidence muscle. Confidence doesn't arrive before the action. It's built through the action. Each time you speak up, each time you stand your ground, you get stronger. So, what's one conversation you've been avoiding? Make a plan, practice it out loud, and try it on for size this week. you might just surprise yourself. Now, let's turn our attention to guilt, because it shows up not only in yes conversations, but also in our hesitancy to set boundaries. Dr. Tamara Brown, in her piece, When Guilt Keeps You From Setting Boundaries, dives into why guilt can masquerade as kindness, and why avoiding conflict can become a cage of your own making. A quote by Cheryl Richardson: if you avoid conflict to keep the peace, you start a war inside yourself. Beliefs about what it means to be a good person are very powerful. They can keep us from having and maintaining fulfilling relationships with other people. People whose beliefs are motivated by guilt often fail to set necessary boundaries in their relationships. This guilt comes from believing that prioritizing oneself over another is wrong. Dr. Brown said, a recent client of mine reminded me of how powerful our beliefs and ideas are in determining how we identify ourselves. My client was telling me that when she wants to speak up to certain people in her life, a stream of guilt-based commentary starts pouring into her mind, saying, "Now that isn't nice," or "You should just say yes and do what they want," or "Come on, is it really that out of your way?" Most of the time, those thoughts convince her that she's doing the wrong thing if she doesn't comply with other people's requests. But she's really just trying to do the right thing for herself. As an exercise, I asked my client to write a letter to guilt. I had her do this in order to practice how she would set boundaries in her relationships, starting with her relationship to guilt. Here's what she wrote. "Dear guilt, you have found countless ways to make me feel like a bad person for not complying with others' every wish, even if it isn't something that I want to do. You burn within my gut when I say no to someone, even when I know saying no is the right thing to do. You sometimes go as far as to convince me that I'm a bad person, even when I know I'm not. You have your way of wiggling into my life. You take control of my actions, and you allow me to comply with doing things for others to please them instead of myself. I'm finally going to take a stand and begin to set boundaries in my relationships. And that boundary setting starts with placing limits around you. You sometimes make me feel like I don't have a choice when really I do. I have noticed by giving in to you, I become resentful because I let people walk all over me. Somehow, I've been led to believe that I'm only a good person if I do that. Guilt, I am not a mean person. I'm actually a good person. You may never see that in me, and that's okay, because that's your job. I just wanted to let you know that I cannot let you run my life decisions anymore. You're harming my relationships and my ability to be my own person. So I apologize, but I will be ignoring you when you try to sneak your commentary in and I don't agree with you. I will be available to hear you out when I'm in need of your opinion." Like my client, we all can benefit from recognizing the ways in which guilt tries to keep us trapped, preventing us from setting limits in our own relationships. This is especially important because guilt will convince us that saying yes in order to please others is a good thing that doesn't need to be changed. The main intention behind feeling guilty is a good one: to live life in the right direction. But sometimes, all it really does is damage your relationships and keep you from being your own person. People pleasers are especially affected by feelings of guilt and a need to be needed. They feel responsible for other people's feelings and are compelled to be a good person all the time, which feeds the urge to say yes even when they really want to say no. Guilt can trick us into thinking we can successfully ignore our needs and take on other people's responsibilities. But after a while, those people will rely on us more and more, weighing us down. When you set appropriate boundaries and stop taking on other people's responsibilities, they're left with no choice but to complete their own tasks, resolve their own problems, and find their own resources. At first, you'll probably feel guilty about this, but it will help to remember that this means other people will take more responsibility for themselves, which will improve their functioning and ability to do it for themselves. Thinking about your relationships this way can help you gain some objectivity about the emotional processes within those relationships, helping you make decisions that aren't motivated by guilt. You have to be confident enough to put boundaries in place and hold other people accountable for those decisions and actions. If you step in and take responsibility, you'll quickly feel worn out, undervalued, and resentful. As Brené Brown states in The Gifts of Imperfection, it's also impossible to practice compassion from a place of resentment. If we're going to practice acceptance and compassion, we need boundaries and accountability. You must set boundaries in your most intimate relationships so that you can feel accepted, heard, and loved. Part of feeling connected to someone is allowing them to truly see you and what you're all about. If you live to please everyone and don't speak your truth, you'll feel alone and invisible. And guess what? You'll have been the one who put on the invisibility cloak. A big part of figuring out who you are is learning about your limits. Once you know what they are, you can set appropriate boundaries with other people. Here is some advice on how to build boundaries. Let it serve as a reference when you need to be reminded of this in your relationships. A good book on setting boundaries is Boundaries: When to Say Yes, How to Say No, to Take Control of Your Life by Henry Cloud and John Townsend. Know your limits. Be firm. Know that you're worthy. Change your role in your relationships. Make time for yourself. Apply the boundaries. And don't expect to become a master at setting boundaries overnight. So, in a nutshell, Dr. Brown compares guilt-driven boundary avoidance to walking on eggshells. A strategy meant to keep everyone else safe, but at the cost of your own comfort and identity. She reminds us that behind many people-pleasing decisions lies a pressured belief that putting yourself first means being bad. Instead, she invites us to see boundaries as emotional self-care, these necessary fences that help you grow, not walls that shut others out. Believing you're okay, asking for what you need, is the first crack in the guilt trap. I want to remind you that every Encouragementology episode now comes with a 5-day journaling companion. You'll find it linked in the show notes. It's a way to take these conversations off the air and into your life one day at a time. This week's companion is all about finding your voice without the guilt trip. Whether you're considering yourself a lifelong people pleaser or just someone who struggles to say no, these prompts are designed to help you explore your thoughts, confront those guilt triggers, and practice boundary setting with kindness and clarity. you want to share encouragementology with a friend who needs to know they're not alone in this journey of self-discovery, you can visit encouragementology.com or anywhere you stream your content to receive this episode and all others. Check out the show notes for the 5-Day Journaling Companion and follow us on Facebook and Instagram for additional encouragement throughout the week. So I challenge you, stop waiting for the perfect moment, the perfect words, or the perfect response, and just start speaking your truth. Not to please, not to appease, but to honor your own voice and values. I know you can do it. Thank you for listening to Encouragementology with Kendall Boyson, where we find positive ways to handle some of life's challenges.
I stumbled through until the path was clear. That's when I found you, how I wound up here. All I needed was a rock that I could lean on. All you needed was something beneath your wings.
Está sintonizando KBOO Portland en el 90.7 FM y a través de la internet en kboo.fm. Bienvenidos a un breve informativo en su estación comunitaria KBOO 90.7 FM.